You know, while we were singing the last song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, I remember the church in Bugo because normally most of the Sundays, I use this song, this hymn. Because one of my weakness in the Lord's service is singing. I cannot hit the tune. I cannot hit the notes. Yeah, well, like, if I'm singing in the group, it's a bit okay. But when I'm singing alone, I could not hit the tune. Then, now in the church, we don't have piano. We don't have people who plays the piano. Then, it's a new church. Nobody could chair the service, so I'll chair the service. Just imagine I cannot hit the notes. Then, I have to do it, or else there will be no singing of hymns in the church. And you know, as what you have seen, that when I preach loud. So the problem is especially in the closing hymn, because my voice cracked already. I could not hit. There was a time that when I started to sing the first word of the closing hymn, it's very far from the notes. I could sense that very far, but I have to continue singing until after the singing. I said, Lord, thank you. I'm chairing, I'm preaching, I'm doing the ushering, I'll collect also the offerings. Pray that the Lord will raise up leaders in the church there in Bugo. Let us close our eyes and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives. Many times we are unfaithful to Thee, but you remain to be faithful to us. Oh Lord, help us to be thankful to you. Help us to be more praying to you. Help us to love you more in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this youth camp that we could study the Word of God, be able to experience the joy of Christian fellowship. And we pray that what we have learned in this camp will not only stay in our mind, but help us, give us the grace to travel it in our hearts. Keep your words, help us to keep your words in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Oh Lord, as I'll be preaching my last sermon, be with me, because without you, I am nothing. And I pray also, Lord, that you give understanding to the campers. Thank you, Lord, that the campers are interested in the Word of God, and help them to grow, Lord. And I pray that when they go back, they will be revived. They will be serving you, and they will offer their best to you, Lord, because you have saved them from their sins. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us read responsibly chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 to up to 15. I'll read verse 1. You respond, huh? Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man lay upon this foundation, the gold, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 15, let us read together. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When I read your email to me regarding the topics, I realized that one of the topics that you wanted me to speak is about the church. So based on this text that we just read a while ago, I want to speak on guidelines for the church. Guidelines for the church. You know, church work is not doing any secular work or any business endeavor, but church work is purely doing God's work. And the Word of God tells us that when we do the Lord's work, the presence of God is with us. I am with you always. So it's very encouraging. When you do the Lord's work, the presence of God is there. But it doesn't mean that doing the Lord's work is very, very easy. In fact, I would say it's tough and difficult. Brother, you said that when we do the Lord's work, God's presence is there. And what makes it difficult? You know, when you are faithfully doing the Lord's work, the direction of the church, the direction of the faithful church, is moving towards a direction which is totally opposite of the direction of the world. The world approves gambling. The church says no to gambling. The world approves disco and alcoholism, but the church says no. The world approves fornication. The world approves adultery. The church says no to all these things. You see, the direction of the church is exactly against the grain of the world. Do you think it's easy? It's difficult. In fact, these things that I just mentioned to you is just one of the aspects. It's just an external aspect. But there is what we call internal problems of the church. Because the people, I mean the church, is made up of imperfect people. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. We still have the root of sin in us and we are inclined to do sinful things. So a faithful church, the direction of a faithful church is against the grain of the world. At the same time, against the grain of our sinful nature. That's why it's not easy. There are so-called Christian churches today who cater rock Christian music. Can you imagine that? Rock plus the word Christian, it becomes a Christian music. Instead of breaking through the wall of worldliness, they open the door of the church and saying, come world, come, be with us. There are also pastors today who could no longer preach the word of God in the pulpit because they succumbed to the temptation. They became casualty of the Lord's service. The moment the church movement goes with the movement of the world, the moment church leaders, the moment church members, the moment the youth of the church, their life goes to the appetite of their sinful nature, that church is done in the sight of God. You know, the church of Corinth was founded by Paul. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, stayed there for 18 months, 1.5 years. For 1.5 years, Paul was faithfully teaching the new converts in the church. And after 1.5 years, God's calling for Paul is to move to the city of Ephesus. So, because it was God's calling for Paul to move to the city of Ephesus, he left the church in Corinth, and there was a man there named Apollos. Apollos pastored the church in the stead of Paul. But down the road, while Apollos was pastoring the church, there were problems that arises the church. So the members of the people in Corinth tried to write Paul, "Paul, these are the problems." And Paul answered those problems. He wrote a letter and answered those problems. Address and answer this problem, and that book is called 1 Corinthians, which chapter 3 we are looking this morning. One of the two serious problems that Paul first dealt with was the problem of division. There was division in the church. And the second problem that Paul was addressing to was the problem of worldliness. You see, it's just like us today. The members of the church attend Sunday service, isn't it? Then from Monday to Friday, the church members are in the offices, you see? And as far as the believers in Corinth were concerned, Sunday they attend church, Mondays to Fridays they are out there, and the problem with them is they imbibe the worldly philosophy and bring it to the church. No problem, the church in Corinth was the most problematic church as far as the churches which Paul had planted, the most problematic church. And in chapter 3 today, Paul dealt with the internal problem of the church. And as we look at chapter 3, I believe we could learn the guidelines of the church. Look at verse 1. "And I," what? "Brethren." You see, Paul here was writing to the Christian, to the believers in Corinth. He addressed them as brothers. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as" what? "Unto carnal." The word spiritual here refers to a person who has been enlightened by God and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So this is their position in Christ. They were Christian. They were believers. They were spiritual. But the problem with them is this. As far as their way turned, as far as their way of life is concerned, they are inclined to enjoy the pleasures of the world. They were carnal. The word carnal here refers to a man whose inclination is to enjoy the pleasures of the world. They were Christians. They were enlightened by God. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They believe in Jesus. Yet, in their daily walk, they are very worldly. That's why Paul told them here in verse 1, Paul says, "You are Christian, you are believers, but when I talk to you about spiritual things, you are not interested in spiritual things." This is a very sad scenario to happen a Christian. Just remember, you are a Bethelite. Then when I talk to you about spiritual things, no, Paul, don't talk to me about that. No, brother, let's talk about business. Let's talk about the enjoyments of the world. This is a very sad thing to happen in a Christian church. And this is exactly what had happened in the church of Corinth. This is my last message, sixth message. And I have observed you. When I speak, I'm looking at you. And one thing I thank the Lord, when I speak, when I teach to you the word of God, you are interested. I'm not flattering you. Of course, there are times that you feel a bit sleepy. It's normal. Sometimes I feel like that. But you work very hard. You try to be very hard to be awake. Especially last night, I wake you up, you see? I'm very thankful. Thank God that the youth in Bethel have not arrived to this stage in the church in Corinth. And sometimes I approach to you personally. I talk to you. You serve the Lord. Be baptized. Be a member of the church. Then your response is very positive. I talk to you spiritual things, and you are still interested in spiritual things. I think when we close in prayer in this church camp, this is one thing that we need to thank God, that you are still interested in spiritual things. The believers in Corinth were washed by the blood of Christ. As far as they're standing in the presence of God, they are Christians. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But when you talk to them about spiritual things, they don't want to listen. If the Bible and the newspaper is placed in front of them, they will pick up the newspaper first, not the Bible. There was a man who had two dogs. One dog is a white dog. The one dog is a black dog. In the first week, the man fed the black dog. He didn't bother to feed the white, just the black. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. After 1 week, he let the two dogs fight. Who won? The black dog, because he fed the black dog. The next week, he changed. He fed the white dog. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper sometimes. After a week, he let the two dogs fight. Who won? Which dog won? The white. You know why these states arrive to the believers in Corinth? Because they are not feeding the spiritual, new spiritual nature. They are feeding their old nature. They are feeding the appetite of their sinful nature. Then it arrived to them that they are no longer interested in the spiritual things. It's a sad thing to happen when a believer behaves like the unbeliever. That's why in the last part of verse 1, Paul called them what? Babes in Christ. Abnormal, immature in their faith. Let's look at verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Let us stop here. The first part of chapter 2 here, Paul was looking back when he was yet pastoring the church. 1.5 years. That is what he was trying to say here in the first part of chapter 2. Paul said, when I planted the church, when you first believed, I give you what? Milk. Because milk was the best diet for you at that time. When I give you solid food, when I give you meat, when I give you beef, you will not be able to digest it at that point in time. That was the emphasis of Paul in the beginning part of verse 2. But the focus of Paul in verse 2 is not the first part. The focus of Paul in verse 2 is the last part. Look at the last part. Neither yet now are you able. Paul said, when, you know, during the 1.5 years when I was there, when you first believed in God, I give you milk. But until now, you are still drinking milk. That's the emphasis of Paul. And this is Paul's disappointment. Because when Paul was already in Ephesus, he was very excited. He was thinking that the believers in Corinth are now growing and they are now eating meat. But it's the opposite. Because the believers in Corinth are still drinking milk. In other words, they had prolonged their infancy stages. That made Paul very, very sad. Here, we could draw the first guideline of the church. The church must grow spiritually. The church must grow towards spiritual maturity. The primary goal of the church is not to make its bank account grow. The primary goal of the church is not to make its building grow like a cathedral. We must remember that the church is a spiritual entity. The members of the church, the adults of the church, the youth of the church, including the leaders of the church, they must grow spiritually. And in order for us to grow spiritually, we must have the appetite. We must have the hunger and thirst for God. At the same time, the old members of the church, the leaders of the youth group, must take time to lead the younger members. Those questions that are difficult, feed the new ones. Guide them, teach them how to live a Christian life. The old members of the youth must tell them how a Christian child must obey his or her parents. What are the TV shows that you should see, you should watch, and the TV shows that you shouldn't? What are the music that you should listen as Christians. You know, when Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ, when Paul met Christ living and real in the road to Damascus, he was blind. He was struck blind. God sent who? Ananias. Ananias, even though for a short period of time, ministered to Paul. And after Ananias, God sent Barnabas to Paul. You see? Paul did not grow just alone, no? There was somebody who helped Paul. And when Paul reached the point of maturity, you know what? He met who? Timothy. Then Paul invests his life to the life of Timothy, brought him up in the Lord, and exposed to service. Then later, Timothy became a pastor of the church. It's very important. Iron, what? Sharpens iron. When you attend youth fellowship, please don't just look at yourself. Be willing to invest your life to other people. That's the way we grow together. My coming here is not just to preach you and you will grow and I will not grow. I am growing here also. I look at this kind of thing. You put a plastic, then you said, oh, better when I go back home, when we will have our first church camp, I will do all these things. Yes. Remember this. The first guideline of the ministry, the first guideline of the church, you as youth fellowship, is very good. You must grow together in the Lord. What's the point of attending how many years already in the Bethel youth ministry and you are not growing spiritually? It's nonsense. You see? Grow. And during the first night, those first comers were asked to stand, second comers, see? So from there, if you are an old member of this group, you have now decide who are those people. You pray, Lord, there are 10 newcomers. Lord, guide me, lead me. To whom will I really focus my life and minister to them? You know, when the pastor of the church continues to give milk and milk and milk in the pulpit, what kind of congregation the pastor has? What? Babes in Christ. That's why the leaders of the church must teach the whole counsel of God. Must search the scripture, must study very hard so that there are babes, the newcomers, at the same time, matured in faith. Do you know what is the consequence when the members of the fellowship, when the members of the church are not growing spiritually? Look at verse 3. I'll read to you verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, you're not growing spiritually. For whereas there is among you, what? Envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and was as men? You see, when the members of the fellowship, when the members of the church are not growing spiritually, there are quarrels. There are backbitings. There's envying. You know, when I was young, I'm quite proud of my father because my father is a good volleyball player. So when I was a child, no, I was the youngest in the family. When I joined with children, they talk, then immediately I opened the conversation. You know, my father can play volleyball very, very well. Then the other young boy also, no, my father is better than your father. You know what? We started to quarrel. No, my father is better. No, my father. Then later we quarrel. That's exactly what happened to the church in Corinth. No, look at verse 4. For while one said, I am of Apollos. Another said, I am of Paul. I go to Apollos. Apollos is my leader. I go to Paul. They are like a child. No wonder they end up quarreling. Committee of this youth fellowship. In order to prevent all these things, you must pray hard, you must work hard, that all of you, leaders and members, will grow spiritually in order to eradicate all these things. I would not say 100%, but at the same time, it will slowly, slowly not be very visible. Let's go down to verses 5 to 8. I want to read to you. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You know, it's very interesting. As the Apostle Paul continues to diagnose the problem of the church, now he compared the church like into a farm. Have you seen two farming words there in verse 6? There is two farming terms there in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered. Planting and watering. These are two agricultural terms. That's why, you know, when you're a good writer, it's very good sometimes you paint a picture in your writing to convey the truth. And this is what exactly Paul was doing here. He'd make a picture that the church is like a field, is like a farming. I planted, Apollos watered. Now, I want to ask a question. Which is more important, planting or watering? I think, brother, it's planting. Because if nobody plants, there's nothing to water. Ah, planting is important. But brother, wait, huh? If somebody plants and nobody waters, the plant will die. Now, let us look at the Bible. Look at verse 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. Both are important. There is diversity of function, but unity in purpose are one. So here we could draw the second principle in the church, guideline of the church. The church must labor in unity. It's very important. Yes, the first guideline of the church, the first goal of the church is what? Move towards what? Spiritual maturity. That's very vital. That's very important that the church have this vision that the members of the church, the leader of the church must move towards what? Spiritual maturity. But while we are moving towards spiritual maturity, there should be what? Christian unity among us. That's very, very important. When you serve God in the church, please don't think of this word competition. Competition should not be in your Christian vocabulary. Okay? Instead of competing one another, we should be what? Complementing one another. Like me, when I'm in the church, I could not sing well. And I hope that there would be somebody in the church, God would raise in the church, somebody who could sing well, and I would be very happy. Oh no, I cannot sing. And now you know how to sing, and now you believe in Christ. Okay, you sing. So it's very good. I'll just sit down there, said after singing, okay, Brother Domenico will preach the word of God. It's very comfortable. Like here, just stand and preach. If competition, I could not sing well, I could not hit the notes, then somebody could sing well. How come this guy could sing well than me? Well, it's a problem. I should be happy, isn't it? Remember this one. In the church service, never think of what competition, please, but what need to complement one another. And as a Christian, take note of this. The moment you see somebody who is doing well, you appreciate it. You learn to appreciate. Do not be jealous. Let's say, for example, and it's very important now, you're organizing, by the grace of God, if Jesus Christ will not come again, you will have the next camp, you see? And when you organize certain activities, because you appreciate others, people say, we need this committee. Ah, she's good in this one, she's good, you see? You could identify, you can place the right person in the right committee. If you think that you all of the activity you can do well, it's very sad. You must be willing to appreciate people so that you can complement one another. You know, as I told you last Friday, in the very beginning, when I arrived, you asked me questions. I was a bit shocked when I arrived. One of my favorite sports, so to speak, is basketball. So, when you win, there's a TV in front of me, I will go immediately to the sports channel. You see? Basketball. Then one time I want to watch basketball, but when I open it, it's mountain climbing. Of course, mountain climbing is something strange in my... there are mountains in my place. I just climb in a normal way. I noticed something, no? There were around, I'm not very sure of the number, but it's around 5 to 6. They were about to climb. But you know, they attach, there's a belt that attached to one of them, to each of them. So they all climb together, very energetic. Along the way, there are three who is still energetic. The three were already tired. And because they are connected by each other, the energy of the three pulls those who are tired. Are you getting what I mean?
Yes.
I think this would be a poor illustration, but I think it conveys something as far as service is concerned. Let's say, for example, you notice that the adult fellowship of your church is a bit discouraged. This is just an example, huh? The adult fellowship, young adults or the young adults fellowship in your church is a bit discouraged. You, youth, you pray. You go to the adults fellowship. How about if we have combined fellowship, the youth and the adults? You think that the children ministry is quite shaky at this point of time. You arrange some activities, special activities, to be with them. Iron sharpens iron. And then when you are down, what? The youth ministry is down, yes. So the adults ministry, the children ministry, would arrange also something for you. It's just like the six people climbing in the mountain, each of them are connected to each other. That's a picture of Christian service. And allow me to emphasize further about Christian service under the heading of working together in unity in the church. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Spirit of God, gives you at least one gift. And we have different gifts, so to speak. There are people who are very good, who have the gift of praying. They can pray very long. There are also people who have the gift of encouragement. Hi, how are you? You see? Different gift. And the purpose of this gift is to equip us in order that the church will be very good. It's a sweeter place. It's a sweet place to come. Having said to you that every Christian has at least one gift, the issue as far as service is concerned is not whether I am capable or not, but the issue is, am I willing to serve? And friends, when you serve God with all faithfulness, if you spend your extra time to God, your extra effort to God, your labor is not in vain. You know why? Look at verse 8 again. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward. You know, sometimes Christians, many Christians, do not know this truth that when you serve God, what? There is a reward that comes from God. It's very important. There is a reward in Christian service. And who will give the reward? It's Jesus. You know, the other day I saw this kind of thing. And maybe the second day or the first day, I saw that there was some writing in my paper. I was already very excited. Ah, somebody wrote for me. But I just pretend as if I'm not excited. I'm already very excited. So when you were eating, I eat. First, I read, but I put it back again. One of the sisters told me, "Brother, you have I already." But I was very excited. I was very happy. Then yesterday, when I looked, there was chocolate. Wow! There was like a yellow. I don't know what's that called. A sweet. Then there's also something that is being wrapped. Then a lot of papers inside. Wow! Become more excited about it. Last night after the games. Because every night I join the games. Sometimes in the afternoon I don't because I really focus on my message. I took all, I went to the room. It really encouraged me. Just a piece of note, thank you, chocolate, it encouraged my heart. It melts my heart, so to speak. How much more when God gives you a reward? Think about this. The reason why some Christians are not so motivated to serve God because you are not taught about these things. There is reward in Christian service. And the person who gives you the reward is not your manager.
No, it's Jesus. And when Jesus gives something, it's perfect. Because God is awesome. He is great.
So ask yourself now, am I serving God? And I thank God as I'm here, I try to encourage brothers and sisters, and there are people who said when I come back, I pray that I'll be a member of the church and I could serve church. Thank God for that. I'll be very happy to come back home, to go back home. All this. Now the question is, what is the basis of the reward? Look at your Bible. What is the basis? Verse 8. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. You know, some pastors have this attitude that the reward is based on success. It's not biblical. Did the Bible say that be successful and I will give you reward? No. Success is not in our hands. What is our responsibility? What? Labor, work. That is God wanted us to do. Are you laboring for Christ? You must labor for Christ. Now the question is, why is it, Brother Domenino, that the basis of reward is labor, not success? Look at verse 6. Let's go back to verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave who? The increase. It's God who gave the increase. Look at verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase twice. You know now, in the computer, huh, if you want to highlight something, what you will do? Just click the highlight, you see? But when Paul wrote, there is no highlighter, no? So in Greek writing, when you want to emphasize something, what will you do? Repeat. God gave the increase. It tells us that success is not in our hands. What is in our hands is to labor to serve God. Success is in the hand of God. That's why the reward, the basis of the reward is labor for Christ. I hope that you would labor for Christ. There was a time in Singapore I was leading a Filipino ministry. And we had every year we have this gospel rally. So we printed a lot of gospel tracks. Welcome to Filipino Fellowship Gospel Rally. Oh, very colorful, very nice, because you are very successful already, the Singapore, and you know, like Melbourne, you know how to use the computer very well. It looks very attractive. Maybe we gave out tracks, I think about 2,000 tracks. That's a lot. But you know, only one came. You know, we arranged the chairs, we prepared snacks because we thought many people would come. We were waiting, wearing our tie. We have ushers to welcome that. You see, just, I hope you feel, you could put yourselves in it. Very excited because we thought that around 50 or 100 people will come. Only one came. Then, to be honest with you, as leaders, we felt quite sad. How come? When we read this verse, we shouldn't be sad. The question is, do we labor? Yes, we invited people. We use our cell phone to call people. Well, as far as the increase is concerned, success is concerned, it's in the hand of God. So what I am bribing you at right now is that be serving, be laboring for the Lord, because there is a reward that awaits you in heaven. Our service here on earth matters in eternity. Keep on serving. Be serving. And those of you who are not serving yet, it's not too late. When you go back, be revived. I want to serve. Be a member of the church. Use the gift that God has given you. Let's read verse 9 and see our last point. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's what? God's building. You see? Paul, at first, I told you that he described a church like a field, like a farm. Now, he described the church what? Like a building. And he continued to say, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Paul called himself as a wise master builder. You know, the word master builder here in Greek is called architecton. Can you identify an English word very close to this? Architecton. English word. Architect. Yeah. So Paul here is saying, by the grace of God, I'm a wise architect. Paul, are you not boasting yourself to tell us that you are a wise architect? No. Look at verse 10, the beginning of verse part. According to the grace of God. He acknowledged God. And truly, Paul is a wise master builder. You know why? When he designed a building, he made sure that the foundation is perfect. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, verse 11, look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. When he builded the church in Corinth, he made a very perfect foundation, and that foundation was Jesus Christ. No wonder when Paul diagnosed the sickness of the church in Corinth, he didn't bother to look at the foundation because it's perfect. He looked at the things added to the foundation. Look at the last part of verse 10. This is the anchor of our last point this morning. Have you seen the word, but let every man? Last part of verse 10. Are you there? Okay, I'll read. But let every man take heed. The word take heed here is a warning. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Paul said, the foundation is perfect, but I want to warn you, be careful of the things that you added to the foundation. The things that you add to the foundation must have a right relationship with God. So here we could draw our last principle. The church must not compromise the truth. That is very important. The foundation is Jesus Christ faithful. Everything you add to it must be faithful. Things that is related to Jesus. Today, we have this teaching, pragmatism. I think some of you hear this word, pragmatism. It's a big word, but simply, this term means the end justify the means. The end justify the means. Whatever the church do, whatever you do, as long as people will come to the church, that is right. Pragmatism. You know what happened? There are Christian churches today that the pastor will just preach 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, there are people who will perform drama. 15 minutes also. After 15 minutes, there are Christian dancers wearing sexy dress with choreography. They dance. You see? They dance. Then what happened? People are coming to the church. 15 minutes preaching, 15 minutes drama, 15 minutes dancing with choreography. Then people are flooding to the church. Is this pleasing to God? The means justify the ends. That's totally unbiblical. In fact, we have an account in the Bible in the Old Testament that the ark was carried in the cart, which is unbiblical, and one of the men of David died. God's way, God's work must be done in God's way. The church must not compromise the truth. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Here, Paul is mentioning six kinds of material things, and this is divided into two. The first, gold, silver, and stubble, and precious stones are things that are indestructible. And the second group of materials are destructible. So here, Paul here is telling about permanency. The things that we do here on earth, that we could bring in the feet of Jesus, are the things that have what? Spiritual values. Can you imagine a man who is very hardworking, wakes up at 5 o'clock, work, eat lunch, after lunch, work, after work, eat dinner, after dinner, work. He is working things without spiritual values. You know, all those things will be nothing. He cannot bring something to the feet of Jesus. The things that you could bring in the feet of Jesus when Jesus comes again are the things that have spiritual values. And this is very important. You know why? There is a building inspection. Look at verse 13. We could see here the building inspection. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The word manifest here is to make open. So when we stand in the presence of Christ, we become like an aquarium. You know, in an aquarium, you could see the fishes, right? You could see the fish. You could see the bubbles. You could see everything. So when God looks at me, God looks at me as the domino. He looks at me, not the way you look at me. You know, I preach God's word. I preach very strongly. So when you look at me, this man is very holy. That's how you look at me. But when I stand in the presence of God, all my facade will be taken out. All my hypocrisy will be taken out. And I stand the way I am. And when you stand in the presence of God, the works that we have done, which is because of ourselves, we want to be praised, that will be burnt. And the works that we done, colored will compromise, that will be burnt. The works that we done for people's sake, that will be burnt. The things that would last are things which have spiritual values and really faithfully done for the Lord, that are the things that will not be burnt. If there will be a building inspection today, is there anything in your fellowship? Is there anything in you that will not be born? I hope so. Friends, there is a saying that says, time just fly. You see, Monday I will be going back home. And I pray that after this camp, you youth would learn to treasure the things of God more. Yes, you are studying. I know that. That's your priority. Some of you are working. Work hard. Be faithful to your work. But in your free time, please do things that have spiritual values. Don't forget God. You are what you are today because of the mighty hand of God that blesses you. You are not what you are today because you are clever, but because God is so faithful to you. Those of you who are not serving God, those of you who are not active in the church, when you go back home, you pray. Be a member of the church. Use your gift. Use your talent to serve God. Those of you who are leading this group, please be sensitive to the new ones. Spend your time, invest your life, guide them. Then you will grow spiritually and you will become active. You will become vibrant. Invite people to church. Invite young people to church. Look at Saturday night. Look at Friday night. Most of the youth are where? Going everywhere. Clubbing. Go to this school. Bring them to church on Friday. Use your life for the Lord's sake. Friends, at this point of time, we have learned three guidelines of the church. First is the church or the ministry must grow spiritually. We must be moving towards spiritual maturity. And take note of this. As we move towards spiritual maturity, what? There must be what? Christian unity among us. And as we serve God, as we're going, remember this. Do not compromise the truth. Because even though we are very vibrant, even though we are very active, but if what we do are compromise, it will be born when Christ comes. Let us be faithful to Christ. Can we open for a while chapter 4, verses 1 and 2? Just the next chapter. I'll read verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, look at verse 2. Huh? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithfulness is required of us. Before I would close my prayer, I thank the Lord that this is my last message. I really thank God. When I was flying here, I was quite nervous. Because, you know, I stayed in my place for 2 months. And there, every day, I speak our dialect. That's why, like, I have to practice English again. But thank God you listen to me. I know that there are words that you're lost, but you are very patient to me. Thank God. And one thing I thank God is that you are still interested in spiritual things. These things that happened in the Church of Corinth has not happened yet. Wake up, please. And when I go back home, I'll continue to pray for you. And please don't forget to pray for me. There is a saying, out of sight, what? Out of mind. No, out of sight still, praise in the mind. Okay. Thank you and God bless you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us wonderful lessons as far as the church, as far as the ministry is concerned. Lord, help this youth that they will grow spiritually. We pray for the Bethel BP Church. help them to grow spiritually, the leaders and the members. Lord, give unity in the church. Give unity in this fellowship, the youth, Bethel Youth Fellowship. Unite their hearts, Lord. At the same time, give them the grace not to compromise. Give them the grace to stick to the truth, because that is the way that we could be found faithful to you. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.